we can recite together. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitabja Vidya Vitopa Tapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kivadara Vriyangala Saiva Jusha Svadhika Madhavati Tadgada Mula Hantri. The holy name, character, pastimes and activities of Krishna were all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed with the root. Purport. The holy name of Lord Krishna, his quality, pastimes, and so forth. I had a worse thing happen to me today, believe me. I can tell you sometime. Very embarrassing. The holy name of Lord Krishna, his qualities, pastimes, and so forth, are all of the nature of absolute truth, beauty, and bliss. Naturally, they are very sweet, like sugar candy, which appeals to everyone. Nescience, however, is compared to the disease called jaundice, which is caused by bilious secretions. Attacked by jaundice, the tongue of a person, of a diseased person, cannot palatably relish sugar candy. Rather, a person with jaundice considers something sweet to taste very bitter. Avidya, ignorance, simply perverts the ability to relish the transcendentally palatable name, quality, form, and pastimes of Krishna. Despite this disease, if one with great care and attention takes to Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, his ignorance will be destroyed, and his tongue enabled to taste the sweetness of the transcendental nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia. Such a recovery of spiritual health is possible only by regular cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, if one with great care and attention takes to Krishna consciousness, that's very important. With great care. We have to be attentive. If we're Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in Harinam Chintamani, he describes that all these offenses can be driven away simply if we avoid one offense, pramada, inattentiveness in our chanting. And that's, in some ways, he says that the nambali papudi, that's the root of all aparadhas. He says that thing. And he also says that inattentiveness is the root of all aparadhas. Both of them are. They can both be said. If we're thinking that we're this body, that's avidya, that's ignorance. How can we chant in such a state? And if we're being inattentive while we chant, that keeps us in that position. But if we begin to chant the holy names with attention, then we can overcome this sickness, this disease. The Prabhupada says, when a man in the material world takes more interest in a materialistic way of life than in Krishna consciousness, he is considered to be in a diseased condition. That's the basic definition of that disease condition. Prabhupada, in this purport, he speaks about three different stages to chanting. Raise your hand. Who can say, raise your hand, who can say who those stages are? Prabhuji?
Understanding
vritti.
Understanding
vritti. Sorry, I can't hear very good. No, three stages of chanting. Maybe Supriya knows. Three stages of playing a Prabhupada. Can you say? Okay, with it, but he doesn't call it Namabhas. What does he call it? He doesn't say that.
Clearing stage.
The clearing stage. We call it the clearing stage. It's not so important for this discussion, but elsewhere Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that Namabhas includes Namaparada. Namabhas also means Namaparada. There's two types of Namabhas. Because Namabhas means the name's not clear. So Namaparada, the name is also not clear. But for this discussion, Prabhupada, he's making it a little simpler, that there's Namaparada, there's a clearing stage, which is Namabhas, and there's Sudanam. Is Shruti coming also? No. Okay. So Prabhupada also gives a nice definition in this purport of what anarthas are. Who can say what anarthas are? Raise your hand.
Unwanted things.
That's how Prabhupada puts it. What does the word anartha mean? What does the word artha mean?
Desires.
Yeah, something just like we say dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Artha means some desirable thing, some good thing. So anartha means something which is not desirable. It's just the opposite. And Prabhupada also gives a nice definition for what is bhav, which is important in this discussion. Raise your hand. Can anybody say, tell us what Prabhupada says, what is bhav? Mataji? Yes, the preliminary awakening. Prabhupada says, when a person is relieved from unwanted things, he becomes fixed in executing his Krishna activities. Indeed, he becomes attached to such activities and experiences ecstasy in executing devotional service. This is called bhav, the preliminary awakening of dormant love of Godhead. So this bhav is this ruchi, this comes, I'm called ruchi here, but this bhav, this ecstasy comes after the unwanted things are relieved from the devotee. So we can read a few things from Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada says, avidya, a misconception about one's spiritual identity, provides a foundation for ahankar, or false ego within the heart. This is a very brilliant analysis. Avidya, misconception. Avidya means ignorance. But it means a misconception about our own spiritual identity. This avidya, this ignorance, gives a foundation for ahankar, or false ego within the heart. If this ignorance is not there, it's not possible. And Prabhupada, in the end of the purport, he quotes this verse, Krishna Surya Samamaya Hoya Andhakar, which he quotes several times in Nectar of Instruction. Yahan Krishna Tahan Maya Tahan Nahi Maya Adhikar. That wherever Krishna is at, Maya can't be. So wherever, if we're Krishna conscious, this ignorance, this avidya can't exist there. We'll understand our position in relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada, he speaks several times in this purport about how this is a disease condition. This avidya, this ignorance, is a disease condition of life. And he says this world of Maya is called, does anybody know what the world of Maya is called? If you're taking shelter of something, it's called ashraya. Durashraya. Right. It's a bad bargain. Durashraya means, Prabhupada says, false or bad shelter. He says, one who puts his faith in durashraya becomes a candidate for hoping against hope. As we were saying the other day, we all have some hope. Even though we've suffered so much misery and anxiety and suffering, we have some hope that this time it'll be different. But actually we have to become hopeless. We have to give up all hope in the material world. There's nothing that's going to make me happy. And this is one important message throughout Nectar of Instruction that Rupa Goswami is giving us. that if we really want to relish something, if we really want to be happy, we need to become Goswamis. We need to give things up. And we see the six Goswamis, they're not considered to be just ordinary Vaishnavas, but they're in a very, very exalted platform. And they had such high taste because they were giving up so much. So if we give up things for Krishna, that's renunciation for Krishna. If we give things up for Maya because we desire some worldly prestige or fame or strength, just like Ravan, he performed so many austerities, and so did Hiranyakashipu. But those austerities are considered to be in the mode of ignorance. So we do some austerities for the pleasure of Krishna. And by giving those things up, we become more fixed in our Krishna consciousness. We get deeper realizations. We get deeper pleasure. Raghunadas Goswami, he offers prayers to Sanatana Goswami, saying that he's taught me how to taste the nectar of renunciation. There's some nectar there. There's some very sweet thing. But because we have this jaundice of avidya, of ignorance, we don't understand who we are. This is the basic root problem of our conditioned life, Prabhupada says. This avidya. Because based on our identity, we're going to behave in a certain way. If you go to Venice Beach, California, I wouldn't suggest you do unless you go at the Harinam party. But if you go to Venice Beach, California, you see all kinds of fellows there on the beach lifting weights. Great big muscles. And you see very beautiful girls dressed in, never mind what they're dressed in, it's not very much. And they have a certain kind of abhiman. Their behavior is based on their identity. Those fellows, they're thinking, I'm a strong man. But that's complete ignorance. How are you a strong man? Well, we saw you when you came out of the womb, we saw you when you were 1 week old. You weren't such a strong fellow then. And we'll come and visit you 30, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, and you're going to be a weak old man. So what is this identity you have? Or the girl, she's thinking, I'm extremely beautiful, I'm a goddess. And all the men, they'll come and worship me like this. And so she dresses in a certain way like that and behaves in a certain way based on their identity. But all these things are avidya. And these are also called upadis or designations. And because these upadis don't have anything to do with our real self, they're not satisfying. And we take shelter of these things in our suffering condition to try to give us some pleasure, to try to give us some meaning in our life, to try to give us some happiness. But it's something like a person who goes to a costume party. I don't know in India so much, but in America they have costume parties and people dress up like Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and pirates and movie stars and this thing and that thing. And they go to have some party like that. So if a person dresses up like that, and then after the party's over, they still keep that dress and they think, this is really me. I'm the king. Because he's dressed up like a king. That's a kind of foolishness. It's a kind of very, very sad thing. But that's what people are doing in this world today. People don't have any idea of who they are. And because of this, they don't want to stop and think because they feel very, very insecure. If you go and ask them, do you know who you are? It makes people very, very uncomfortable. Yes, I know who I am. I'm a secretary. I'm a Gujarati. I'm a this, I'm a that. But then when you point out that those things are temporary designations and don't really have anything to do with them, they become very, very insecure. We surround ourselves with so many designations to give our life some meaning. Without those designations, without those upadis, it doesn't have any meaning to our life. So this avidya, this is a root cause of our material suffering, our material problem. Prabhupada says, one who puts his faith in Dharashraya becomes a candidate for hoping against hope. Wonderful statement. In the material world, everyone is trying to become happy. And although their material attempts are baffled in every way, due to their nescience, they cannot understand their mistakes. They're so foolish. We're so foolish, and we're shameless. We're shameless persons. We've suffered in so many different ways. Like sometimes a young lady, she falls in love with a boy, And she becomes shameless and she starts chasing after him. And then he says a few things to give her some hope and she's very excited. But then after some time she sees him with another girl and she becomes crushed. But then a few weeks later she sees another boy and again she gets hope. Oh, maybe this one. Therefore Vedic culture, Vanashram culture, is a culture which is meant for some regulation, some control. And this regulation, this control, helps us to keep from suffering so much. But the Bhagavatam describes in a number of places that if we may be doing so many activities according to Vanashram, but if we're not getting some ruchi, some taste, then it's all useless. Dharma swanusthita pumsas. Vishvakshina katasuya napariyad vyadiratim. Shama eva hi kevam. If there's no rati, then it's shama eva hi kevam. It's just a waste of time. This is the purpose of it. Not just to control ourselves, not just to regulate ourselves. Although in that Vanashram system, if people act according to that, the suffering is much, much less if they control themselves in that way. But still, that's not the purpose of human life. And the Bhagavatam says it's just a waste of time. It has no meaning if there's no ruchi there. So, Prabhupada says that people try to rectify one mistake by making another mistake. He's perhaps paraphrasing the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where Krishna tells Uddhava, Pashyat Pakaviparyasam. That the endeavor is of the conditioned souls in this material world to solve some problem simply causes more and more problems. A good example is allopathic medicine. People have a sneeze or something, they have some kind of cold. So they go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you take this penicillin. Well, taking penicillin for a little nasal congestion or something is kind of like killing a fly in a room with a hand grenade. It'll kill the fly, but it's a little bit of an overdose. So similarly, it'll do so much bad things in the body. Then the person's immune system goes down and they get more serious diseases. So Pashyat Pakaviparyasam, they try to get some relief from their suffering, but the very means that they take shelter of cause simply more suffering. Prabhupada says the conclusion is that in order to get freed from the material disease, one must take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The Krishna conscious movement is especially meant for creating an atmosphere in which people can take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That's the purpose of this society. And Prabhupada says in this purport also that when one comes to the platform of Baba Mahadevagni Nivapanam, then at that time they get some taste when this material suffering goes away. So that's the purpose of this movement. Prabhupada says this Krishna conscious movement is being spread all over the world just to remedy this gross ignorance. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's singing this nice song. They're traveling all around, all about Navadweep, telling everyone, you please chant. Radha Krishna Bhagavad. You've uselessly come under the control of Maya. And you're drowning in this ocean. Sometimes you're floating, sometimes you're drowning in the ocean of material happiness and distress. So Prabhupada says, this Krishna conscious movement is being spread all over the world just to remedy this gross ignorance. And he says on another page here, this Krishna conscious movement is especially meant for creating an atmosphere in which people can take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. One must begin with faith, and when this faith is increased by chanting, one can become a member of the society. Srila Prabhupada, in one room conversation, he spoke about this song. He said, "So Radha Krishna bolo re so bhai, a sikadir." This is a teaching of Lord Chaitanya, and he says, "Jai Sukal Bhipod." Bhaktivinod Thakur, the composer of this song, he says that you get out of all kinds of dangers. Jai Sukal Bhipod Gai Bhaktivinod Jakononam Gai. If you simply take the chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra, Bhaktivinod Thakur, he concludes it. He says, Radha Krishna bolo sange chalo hey mata dukhe chaya sange chalo Radha Krishna bolo sange chalo hey mata dukhe chaya Radha Krishna bolo sange chalo hey mata dukhe chaya Bhaktivinoda says, Radha Krishna bolo sange chalo e mata bikya chai. I don't care if you become a life member or not. I'm not asking you for that. He's saying, he's coming, he's knocking on the door. Bo mata bhagavati bhiksham dehi. You please give me some alms. But what alms is he begging? Radha Krishna bolo sange chalo e mata bikya chai. My dear brother, all that I want, I just want you to chant Krishna Nam. There's nothing else that I'm asking. The Prabhupada says, we are asking people without any argument or political purpose. No, we're simply asking that you chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Prabhupada said, this chanting should go on. Instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, there should be chanting. So he said, that's all. Wherever we are opening our branches, it's our only business that we are requesting people to chant Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna. We don't want anything. We don't want to do any business. But we're simply spreading this Hare Krishna movement because people are being washed away. Chant Krishna Nam. If you can just understand, if you can give up this avidya, this ignorance, and understand that you have a very wonderful position. You're not lost. People in this world, they're drowning, they're committing suicide. they don't understand who they are. Bhaktivinoda says, no, things are very clear. If you can just understand, Jeev Krishna Das, Avishwas, put your faith in this thing, then korlito arduko nai, all your suffering will go away. And he tells him, Krishna bobe jabbe pura kabe jabbe You understand this thing, give up your ignorance, then what will happen? Krishna bodhi jabi pula kabi jorvi aniki bodhi tai. This is what will happen to you. Your parents, what will they think when they see their son rolling on the ground and foam coming out, crying, and like this? They'll be happy? My son, he's become a puggle. We wanted him to go to the university. There was some hope, and then he joined that Hare Krishna movement. They'll think like that? So this is our future. We want this thing. This is a very, very nice thing. So Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, he's telling us that this is a natural condition. But because we have some jaundice condition, we have some attachment to watching movies, some nice Bollywood sounds and going to nice restaurants with our friends. We have some ruchi for those things. We're like a vulture who's eating dead bodies, very nasty, decomposed things. Or like Indra. Indra once, he disrespected Brihaspati, his guru. And so Brihaspati cursed him. You're acting like a super, a pig. So become a pig. So Indra became a pig. He was a very good pig. He was going around doing all of his pig things. And he had his pig wife and his pig children. And he's eating very nice stool and rolling in the mud in the stool and laying around all day just getting fat. And after some time, things weren't going right in the universe. So Lord Brahma came. He said, hey, Indra. Hey, pig, you're actually Indra. And the pig was saying, what is this Indra you're talking about? No, no, that's you. That's your name. No, I'm Mr. Pig. This is Mrs. Pig over here. I'm very happy. Come on, Baba. Don't you remember? You're the king of the heavenly planets. You have such a wealthy, wonderful place. He said, a place better than this? Yes, much better than this place. He said, well, is there a nice stool there to eat? He said, no, there's no stool there to eat. He said, can I have sex with my children? And with other pigs and other... No, 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 there's something much, much better than that in this place. No, no, I don't want to go. So then Lord Brahma saw that he was attached to his children. So Lord Brahma killed those children. And the pig became very, very angry. And still he was trying to attack Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma saw he still has some hope because his wife is there. When his wife is there, then we can have some more children. So then he killed the wife. And then the pig stopped. Wait a minute. Why am I suffering so much like this? So we're like that pig. We're wandering around eating stool and suffering like anything, but we think it's very, very nice. This is avidya. This is ignorance. The sadhu is coming to this place saying, hey, Radha Krishna Bola Sangi Chalo, hey Matra Vikyacha. You come. I'm just asking one thing from you. I don't care. I'm not trying to get rich. I don't want your money. It's okay. I don't want your stool. You can keep your stool. I just want you to be happy. And this is Srila Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada describes this in his purports here in Nectar of Instruction. This Krishna conscious movement is being spread all over the world just to remedy this gross ignorance. The conclusion is that in order to get freed from the material disease, one must take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The Krishna conscious movement is especially meant for creating an atmosphere in which people can take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. We are sending Sankirtan parties all over the world, and they are experiencing it even in the remotest part of the world where there is no knowledge of Krishna. The Hare Krishna Maha mantra attracts thousands of men to our camp. In some areas, people begin to imitate the devotees by shaving their heads and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra only a few days after hearing the mantra. This may be imitated, but imitation of a good thing is desired. Once I was distributing books, we were traveling, we were in Reno, Nevada, actually a place called Sparks, which is just on the outskirts of Reno. And that place, there's no devotees there. That place is one of the most horrible places in the world. They call it the cow country. It's where they slaughter more cows than practically anywhere else in America. And in that particular place, they have a problem because it's a desert area. So to make money, the government has made certain things legal. They've made drinking is a very young age, practically anybody can drink. And prostitution is also legal. And gambling is also legal. It's a very, really horrible place. And there's no devotees there, especially this was like in 1982, 83, something like this, we were there. And then one day we were in some parking lot and we were selling some books. And there was no one to stop. There were some young girls, maybe 12 years old, 10 years old or something. We stopped her and we gave her a book. When she saw the book, she became so excited. She said, "Is this a Hare Krishna book?" Yeah, that's what it's all about. We weren't legal in that place. I was afraid she was going to go tell somebody. And she said, "You know, they call us the Hare Krishnas at school." She said, "I have a group of friends. They'd read some book or saw some movie. I don't know what it was, somewhere. And they had a group of friends at school, and they went around chanting Hare Krishna. They hadn't met any devotees. They're just imitating this thing." So this is like Prabhupada's saying here in the purport. This is Prabhupada's mission. And we should understand Prabhupada's mission. Prabhupada's writing this thing here. He's writing this for attentive persons. He's not writing this for people who want to be dharmadvajis, or Kali Chelas, just pretender devotees. But he's writing this for those of us who are sincere and who really want to know. Anita, I guess, can you give her some? Really want to know, how can they please Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada's telling us this thing. And he says a similar thing in many places. In Hyderabad, in one lecture, Prabhupada said, "Practice bhakti yoga and be Krishna conscious and make your life successful. That is our mission. We are teaching. It's not a business that give me some money and I will teach you. It's open. We're asking everyone, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. What is the difficulty? There's no loss. You haven't got to pay anything." Similarly, another lecture in Delhi in 73, Prabhupada said, "Our only business is to make people happy. We have no other desire. We don't say that you give us some money in exchange of your Krishna consciousness. No, that's not our business. We're not merchants. We're spreading this Krishna consciousness free of charge. We are engaged servant of Krishna. Krishna will provide us. Krishna will provide us." Krishna-kun, excuse me. Go get the key or something. Go in the room over there. If you take Prasadam there, you're going to be troubled. Yeah. So again and again, Prabhupada said this thing. That we're asking people without any argument or political purpose. We're simply asking you chant Hare Krishna. That's all. We don't want money. Prabhupada didn't open up another business. He already had his pharmacy business. And he was tired of that thing. He didn't want to do that anymore. He didn't go to America to start some business and make some money. And we saw in one book about Srila Prabhupada, some scholars, they'd written that he was a businessman. And he came to America to continue to expand his business. He was right in one sense. Prabhupada said, "We have no other business than this. Our business is to make people happy." And so we should understand that. We should understand the desire of Srila Prabhupada. The problem we have is this avidya. And Atmavan Manitaja got We're ignorant, and so we think that everybody else must be ignorant also. We think even Srila Prabhupada must also think the way that we think. We want money, and we want some prestige, so we think that Sadhu Guru, he must also be like that too. But we should understand, Prabhupada is explaining to us in these purports and Nectar of Instruction, what was the purpose of his society? What is the purpose of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Prabhupada says, when a person is relieved from unwanted things, he becomes vexed and executing his Krishna activities. Indeed, he becomes attached to such activities and experiences ecstasy in executing devotional service. This is called bhav, the preliminary awakening of dormant love of Godhead. People in the material world, the greatest pleasure people can think of in this world is sex life, or maybe some intoxication. And both of them are considered to be very great because a person becomes almost ecstatic and they forget everything else. In other words, what they're saying is that ignorance is bliss. Because if you forget about everything that's going on, then you'll be happy. Because you're suffering so very, very badly. That's the best thing that we can hope for in this material world. But Prabhupada says that when we become attached to our Krishna activities, we begin to experience ecstasy. That's called bhav. And Prabhupada says, although maya may be present, it cannot disturb a devotee once he attains the bhav stage. We read a number of statements about this the other day. We can read a couple of them again. Prabhupada says, prakriti means on the material platform. Such a devotee can fall down at any moment because he's on the prakriti stage, the material stage. And prakriti means gunamayi prakriti. It is very strong. So any devotee can fall down if he remains a prakriti bhakta. So he has to raise himself above this in the madhyam adhikar. The same thing as my Guru Maharaj used to say, that licking up the bottle of honey, that's not real honey. You're licking the outside of the bottle. Oh, honey's very, very nice. Such a very, very nice thing. I've heard people talking about it. Yes, you're licking like that. And some person comes walking by who grows honey, who takes care of bees, and he's looking at you, licking this jar on the outside. What kind of crazy person is this? That's what Sadhu thinks of us in this material world. We're just making some show that we're enjoying something. But actually, we're suffering like anything. Our business in this world, the Bhagavatam says, our relishment is like the relishment of the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. It's not real relishment. So vidvara hastrakarai samstuta purusha pasu yat yat karna pato peto jatu nam gridagraja. It says that men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they have ruchi for hearing these material things. What is the business of the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses? What is the business of the dog? The dog is always wanting to have sex life with a she-dog, even though she's biting him. And sometimes the dog is eating stool, and he's suffering like anything, but he's thinking this is very, very nice. And if he can lay in the sun and just sleep all day long, then he's thinking this is a very good life. So someone who's trying to enjoy material life, they're like a dog, or they're like a hog who's just eating stool, the excrement of other persons, something that someone's eaten and passed out, something that's no longer useful for them. So persons who are interested in this Gramya Katha and just thought, oh, how was your auntie? Was her operation successful? And your sister, did she have that baby yet? People are attached to these kinds of topics. But these kind of topics are compared to stool because they've been digested and heard so many, many times in this world. What is the value of them? So hogs, dogs, camels. And what's the business of the camel? What is a camel doing? What is the camel eating? Thorny bushes. Right? Prabhupada says, because the thorns, they cut his tongue and his mouth and there's some bleeding and he's tasting that blood. Oh, very, very nice. So this is like people who are attached to sex life. But they're just losing their blood. But they're thinking this is a very, very nice thing. And the ass is a donkey who's working so very, very hard all day long. And people in this world, they work so hard, doing terrible jobs, so they can have a television set and a computer so they can go on the internet and surf and watch this thing and that thing. But they're doing the most horrible activities. And also they can get that little taste, they can get a little sex life. And in the meantime, they're getting kicked in the face with a she-donkey. So people have taste for this thing. They don't have taste for Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the Bhagavatam describes Niviti Tarsha Upagiyamanat. Bhavosadash Chotamano Bira Matka Uttama Shloka Gunanavara Pumandra Jeti Vina Pashugnat. That this Harikata, this is Bhavosadash. This is the great medicine. And this is what we need to become free from our disease of ignorance. We should take this thing. We should drink this thing. It's a very, very nice thing. This Sadhu Guru is coming and giving us. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiritam kamasapaham. It'll destroy our ignorance. It'll take away all the miseries of this world and it'll give us so much happiness. Vinapasugna puman virajeta vinapasugna. Who won't want to hear these topics? Except for a butcher or someone who's killing himself. In his commentary, Jiva Goswami says, Katanchidana dikkakamanaya yadi karmi vakta shrotava syat tada savirajit evityaha pashudna vina. Who is it that doesn't want to hear Hari Katha? He says it's someone who's a karmi, who wants to make money. Oh, I can't stay for class. I'm very sorry. I have to go out for life membership. I have to meet my quota today. I have to get some money. We're thinking this money is so important. My Guru Maharaj used to say, money, 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 brighter than sunshine, sweeter than honey. People are thinking so much of this money. But what is it? It's some piece of paper that thousands and thousands of people who haven't washed their hands after passing stool and urine have been touching. And it's so nasty and dirty. And it has so much karma in it because people have fixed their consciousness on it in such a strange way. What do we want with such a nasty thing? We don't want that. But we would like to do some service for Krishna. We'd like to do something for Krishna's pleasure. So we may take that nasty thing and turn it into something good for Krishna's pleasure. So, for the devotee of the Lord, there's no question of him falling down from the platform of Bhava. Prabhupada says that in this purport. This is an important point. Prabhupada goes on in this lecture in Vrindavan in 1972. He says that you have to open the bottle of the honey and lick the real honey. Then you'll get a taste. That is advancement of spiritual knowledge. Satam prasangam mama virja samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha. This is rasayana katha. This is, if you take some rasayana in Ayurvedic medicine, it's something which will give you life. So this katha will give us life. It will give us inspiration. But we're suffering because we don't have a taste for it. Prabhupada says, therefore, if we do not associate with the advanced devotees, uttama adhikaris, if we simply want to remain in the lowest stage of devotional service and we are not making progress, then we shall simply try to enjoy the material field without entering into the spiritual platform. It's described that there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one lecture, there's two kinds of vishayis, two kinds of, Bhaktivinoda writes in one article, two kinds of material enjoyers. One who is very attached, and one who is attached. Everybody's attached. But those persons who are very attached, extremely attached, they're bad association. You can't associate with them at all. They can't hear from you. But someone who's attached, you might be able to say something to them. Similarly, it says amongst devotees, who are prakriti bhaktas, who are trying to enjoy, there's two types. One is a devotee who adds Krishna to his sense gratification. Just like so many people when Srila Prabhupada went to America in 1967, they found this happening record. Or maybe they heard about the Beatles and later on in Prabhupada like that. So they bought this record. They bought that record because they liked to listen to records. They liked to listen to mundane music. And they thought they would add, well, here's something else I can also add to my field of enjoyment. I have so many different things in my home I'm enjoying. Let me also enjoy Krishna. Sometimes you go on Harinam in the West and it's like that the devotees are playing guitars and dancing in funny ways and doing something. It's because we want to enjoy. And that's okay, it's also kind of devotee. But that's a prakriti bhakta. That's a lower person. And Bhaktivinoda says that kind of association we should avoid. Better than that, amongst the prakriti bhaktas, he says, is that devotee who keeps Krishna, he's also wanting to enjoy, but he keeps Krishna in the center of his enjoyment. Krishna's the main thing that he wants to enjoy. He wants to have a good time, so he wants to go to Janmashtami festival, he wants to go to Radhastami, he wants to go to Prakrama and this and that, to enjoy himself. That's actually not the highest thing. Much better than that, we should do for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. But that's an easy thing to say, but to actually come to that realization is not such a cheap thing. So most devotees in either one of these two categories, either they're trying to add Krishna to their pleasure, or better than that, they're keeping Krishna in the center of their pleasure. Bhaktivinoda says of the two, it's better to associate with someone who's keeping Krishna in the center of their pleasure. And that's good association, at least on some level. So Prabhupada goes on. Traigunya Vishayavid and this Traigunya Bhavarjana. The guna or nirguna, these two words are there in Vedic literature. When we speak of guna, it means the three gunas, the three modes of nature. So devotional service is above these three modes of nature. Sagunam samatityaitam. So we have to try to go to that platform. Otherwise, we shall remain a prakriti bhakta. Srila Prabhupada describes in many, many places. He says, there's no possibility that a first-class devotee will fall down, even though he may mix with non-devotees to preach, as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in Bhagavad Gita, he says, a third-class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. The Madhyama Adhikari, Prabhupada says, does not fall down. That's the nature of the Madhyama Adhikari. The Kanishtha Adhikari may fall down. But Baba Mahagni Devagni Devapanam, as soon as that fire, material desires, is extinguished, then there's no question. And Prabhupada says, and for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there's no chance of falling down. So we'll stop there. We can come back again in 5 minutes and give everybody a stretch.